time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 297, entitled Get Social Karma by Being a Help Tributor. It was recorded on Monday, the 13th of May, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous people today. First off, my co-host this week is Michelle Frechette, and then the guests are Tim Nash and Pete Chineri. It's a WordPress podcast, so what do we talk about? Well, WordPress. We start off by looking at a roadmap for 6.6, the version of WordPress coming up next. What might be included? What interesting features are there going to be? The Page Builder Summit is back. You can get your free ticket, and we talk about that. The WP Community Collective have joined forces with GoDaddy to help promote underrepresented speakers at WordPress, and there is some money available for WordCamp US. We also talk about the fact that WP LDN is looking for speakers, some AI podcasts that I did over on the Tavern and WP Builds, and then we get into a really long conversation about what it means to contribute to WordPress. How can your contributions matter? How can you get kudos from your contributions? And it really is the topic of the day. We also talk about Stellar WP acquiring a LearnDash add-on from Wisdom Labs. And we talk about the Northern Lights. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Hello, 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 hello there. This Week in WordPress, episode number 297, coming to you from a hot and sticky England. It's about 20 degrees centigrade, which is not that hot, but for us folk in the UK, this is ridiculous. I got all the windows open and there's some workmen going on outside, and so we'll see how that goes. A little bit later, I might have to leap and close things. But very nice to have you with us. I'm joined by, as you can see, if you're looking at us and not listening to us, joined by three fabulous people. The first is Michelle Frechette. She's our co-host for today. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing well, thank you. I still have my furnace on. It's
that ridiculous how easy it is to forget how much you complained about the cold? And now I'm just thinking, bring me the cold. I want a little bit cold. Michelle is joining us from Rochester, New York, but let's give her her proper bio. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stellar WP at Liquid Web. More on that later. They've got a bit of news for us this week. In addition to her work at Stellar WP, Michelle is the podcast barista at WPCoffeeTalk.com, co-founder of UnderrepresentedInTech.com, creator of WPSpeakers.com, creator of WPCareerPages.com, the executive director at PostStatus.com, Reiki, co-host of WP Motivate, which is a podcast, and another one is the Audacity Marketing Podcast. The WP Constellations podcast is another, but aside from that, she likes to write. She's an author and a frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. As I said, she lives outside Rochester, New York, where she's an avid nature photographer. We'll see some of that slightly annoyingly later as well. You can learn more about her at meetmichelle.online. Thank you for joining us once again, Michelle.
My pleasure.
Really
good to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
Good morning, good afternoon. Yeah, what was it David Frost used to say? Hello, good evening, and welcome. We'll not do that. And there's Peacher. Peacher's down there. She is in Spain, I'm going to say, hoping I'm right. And I bet it's not 20 degrees, is it? I bet it's like 28 or something.
No, it's probably 27, I'd say. If it's got warmer in the last few days, so yeah.
I don't know how you cope. I don't.
It was really cold. It was like 19 for ages.
Oh, not really cold. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, how we long for cold days of 19 degrees. Feature Neri is a UX and accessible design lead, consultant and speaker. That's all we got for Peach. I don't know if you want to say anything else, but that's the one line you submitted. Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out more about you as the show goes on, I'm sure. And Sir Tim Nash, how you doing? I don't know why I want to say Sir Tim Nash every time I say your name.
I'm just knighted.
It sounds like a knight's name, I always feel. I'm reading a book about Queen Elizabeth at the moment. And I keep thinking, you know, it'd be nice if Sir Tim Nash came.
I'd up in several passages later on.
Right, I don't know about this. I glanced my eyes across your bio, but here we go. I'm going to read it as it's written. What can I say about Tim? He has simply been, since for what seems like forever, with a sigh and the looks, he now fulfills the role of old man shakes fist. Old man shakes fist. At the clouds, at WordPress community events, a professional doom speaker and WordPress security consultant. He would really like it. Oh, this is a good bit. He would really like it if you signed up for his newsletter at timnash.co.uk/newsletter. That's not hard to remember. The next issue of which goes out this week, and it's really quite good. He wrote that, but I said it and I meant it because I get it and I actually read it. As you know, because I sometimes reply and give you my thoughts on it. So there you go. So there's our panel. Thank you very much. A little bit of housekeeping just before we begin. If you want to join in the conversation, and honestly, the show is better when you do, don't be shy. The best place to go is wpbuilds.com/. Where's the thing? No, I've lost it. Oh, no, there it is. /live. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live. If you go over there, you've got two options. You can either be signed into YouTube and use a Google account, and then you can post in the comment box on the right, or if you're on mobile, it'll be underneath. Or if you want to be anonymous, the platform that we're using to get the video out to you has a little chat embedded in the video. So at the top right of the video, where the little word WP Builds logo is, there's a little box which says live chat, and you can just put your name in there. You don't have to surrender an email or anything like that. At least I don't think you do. No, it just asks for your name, and you can put a comment in there, and it'll come onto our platform, and we'll be able to see it a bit like these. Look, here comes some. Robert Cairns says, genetic modification. What? Nice. I guess GM means good morning, but hello. Nice to have you, Rob. It was very nice. I was on Rob Cairns' podcast this week with the venerable Sir Bob Dunn. There's two of you. And also, hello from Germany, said Birgit. Hold tight, Birgit. We've got some of your stuff coming our way today. Cameron Jones, who was on the show just the other week, says good evening from Australia. I dare to imagine what temperature is like there. Friendly Web Guy, good afternoon from slightly overcast Berkshire. Oh, I'll take overcast here. It's blazing. It is cold. No, he doesn't. He says it's cloudy and rainy in Toronto. I think Nathan sent it to us. Yes, I have rain and cloud in abundance, not just out in the sky, but in my head. Mike Johnson is joining us, cloudy and cool in Lisbon. Hi, Mike. Mike and I spent absolutely ages at WordCamp Europe in Athens in the same room. He had, bless him. When you do a WordPress event and you're a media partner and you do interviews, somebody from the organizing team has to sit in, make sure that you don't like contravene any of the code of conduct things. And Mike, bless his soul, had to sit and listen to me droning on with interviews for about 7 hours. And he was very good about it. So thank you. He says, who's getting excited about WordCamp EU? I am. I'm getting excited. And Peter Ingersoll, here we go. Normality is restored. Hello, everyone. He says, it's a sunny and cool 10 degrees centigrade on this beautiful Connecticut morning. Did you enjoy the solar storms? Don't even begin that conversation. We've got that coming later, and it's a litany of disappointment is all I'm going to say. Alex Standiford.
But from all of us. All of us.
professional doom speaker. Alex liked that. Peaches saying hi, everybody, and replying in the comments. That's really nice. And okay, I guess that's all of the different bits and bits. Oh, no, there's one more. Alex Standiford. Michelle, my coffee cup is dreamer at work today.
Mine is a one of a kind that GoWP had made for me.
Oh, yeah, it looks a bit racy, that one.
And it's Wonder Woman.
I've got a glass of slightly bubbly water. So this is my throat. So there we go. Drop in some comments. Please feel free. If anything comes into your head, just drop it in there. Well, you know, keep it clean, keep it on message. But aside from that, I have, Courtney Robertson says, I have WordCamp Montclair before WordCamp Europe, hoping to find Michelle at both. Nice.
I will be at both. Yes, I will see you there.
The WordCamp Whitley Bay tickets, by the way, if you're in the UK, the premier and only event going on. Oh, Peach's gone. Hopefully she'll come back. Is WordCamp. Oh, here she comes. Here she comes. Is WordCamp Whitley Bay. And the tickets are available. I think there's about 73 remaining. So if you fancy a trip up to the northeast, think Newcastle. That's the nearest place of bigness. It's happening in July, I want to say. And it's on a Friday. So are you going, Tim? Because I know you went last year. Do you think you're going to go?
Yes. I decided this time I didn't want to necessarily speak. But I'm going to go for probably, I think, the first time in my life to any WordCamp just as an attendee.
You're not going to know what to do with yourself.
I've been there just as an attendee. I've always
It's really fun. Yeah. I did that last year for the first time, I think, at WordCamp Madrid, and I loved it. It's amazing. I really recommend it.
You people are extraordinary. I've never been to a WordCamp and spoken. I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. I would just be a mess of nerves. I can't do that kind of speaking. I can do this until the cows come home, but put me in front of a crowd, even like a crowd of four toddlers, and I'm like,
to be honest, anybody is who can deal with four toddlers and still is doing quite well.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's amazing. So I bought my ticket, Tim. So hopefully I'll see you there, all things being equal. That's really nice. Okay, let's share the screen and get on with the bits and pieces that we've got today. I confess I was in a bit of a rush because of this thing, which we'll talk about in a moment. I'm in a bit of a rush. So I sort of cobbled the news together today. So I'm hoping that the panelists are going to chip in and help me out. And also your comments are going to help me with all the bits and pieces as well. But here we go. Firstly, a few bits of self-promotion, as we always do at the beginning. This is our website, wpbuilds.com. You can see that we are proudly sponsored by two fine companies. We're sponsored by GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost. And if you would like to keep in touch with everything that we do, just put your email address in there and click the subscribe button. I mentioned just a moment ago an event which is coming up. Been working hard on this for quite a while now, and everything starts to come to a head at this point. You know, all of the different bits and pieces that you remembered that you forgot to do, that kind of thing is now hitting. And it's episode number 7, if you like. It's version 7 of the Page Builder Summit. It's happening between the 20th and the 24th of May. What else is there to say? If it all works out, as we hope, there'll be about 40 speakers. It's live every day, Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday with networking on the Friday. If you go to pagebuildersummit.com and you just sort of scroll down, you can get an inclination of the people that are speaking. Yeah, there's a few there that you might have heard of. Paul Charlton, Shannon Matern, Dave Foy, Jamie Marsland, Sarah Maskey. I'm just picking them at random. Josh Hall, Bud Krause, Hayley Brown, Nicole Osborne, Amber Hines, Donata Strikes Skillrud, and the list goes on. Down, down, down we go. And if you want to join us, like I said, go pagebuildersummit.com, stick your name in there, email in there, and you're off to the races. We'll keep you.
I already got my ticket. I'm registered.
Yeah. It's free. If you want if you want to watch it, there are certain rules of engagement, if you like, but basically, if you want to see any of the presentations, they're available for 48 hours. So if, let's say, Dave Foy's one is on Monday at 9 o'clock, it isn't, I'm just making it up. But if it was on at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, you'd be able to watch it for free until 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And so it goes. And if outside of those times you want to see it, well, we've got this little thing called the Page Builder Power Pack, which you can purchase as well. Anyway, there you go. PageBuilderSummit.com.
I'm chuckling at Cameron's comment.
Cameron, what does he say? Here we go. He says, Nathan doesn't want to admit it, but it's not his public speaking skills that are issue. It's because he's boring. Well, and on that bombshell, I'm going to give up. He's right. I think he's, this is basically what my wife tells me on a regular basis. Nathan,
how not to get invited back on to do.
Yes, it's just so boring.
That also decline feature that Nathan built into the system.
It's nice knowing you, Cameron.
Yeah. Thanks, Cameron. Yeah, well, I'll see you again. Maybe Cameron's had a few beers. Anyway, I don't mind. It's all water off a duck's back. I know it to be true. Here we go. WordPress 6.6 is coming around the corner fairly soon. This is one of two articles that Anne Zazu, otherwise known as Anne McCarthy, who produces just outrageously large amounts of WordPress content. She's produced this piece. It's on the Make WordPress blog, make.wordpress.org. I will put the links in the show notes, as I always do. And it's can you believe it? We really feel like we just dropped 6.5, and 6.6 is due to be released on July the 16th. So a little over 2 months away, shorter release cycle, she says. And it builds upon lots and lots of the bits and pieces that have dropped in 6.5. I've highlighted a few different bits and pieces. I'm just going to mention them, and then I'll leave it to our panel to thrash out whether they like any of them or not, or what they think about them. And it says here, building on the initial launch in 6.5, the new views in the site editor continue to be refined and enhanced. You'll be able to manage all templates, manage all template parts, manage all pages. And also for pages, a new side-by-side layout. If you're looking at the page, you might get an inclination of it. There it is. A new side-by-side layout will be introduced, so one can see both a list of all the pages and a preview of the currently selected page. I kind of think that's quite a nice addition. I guess if you've got enough screen real estate, that'll be all right. For patterns, templates, template part management will be removed and integrated into the current overall pattern section. Let me move down. A few initiatives are coming together to allow one to focus on building with patterns rather than granular block editing. This seems to me to be the thrust of lots of the marketing coming out of WordPress at the moment, is just use patterns for all the things. More patterns, use patterns, make patterns, deploy patterns, save patterns, sync patterns, just do all things with patterns. So this zoomed out experience in the editor when inserting, easy for you to say, to give you a high level overview of the site. So you can sort of see it there. It's kind of like, it gives you a bit of a view so you can see more than just like a narrow, well, it's narrower but longer, if you know what I mean. Ability to shuffle top level patterns with within a template to quickly explore alternative patterns. I'll move on. Did I want to mention that? Oh yeah, so this is really cool. Jamie Marsland showed it off in a video, which we mentioned last week. This is the ability to, within patterns, to kind of block certain things, to say, I want my client to be able to change the background color, but not the text of that pattern. Or I want my client to be able to change the text, but not background color. And then that could be a global pattern. It could be a pattern which you decouple from global. So in that way, it offers loads of ability for you to give your clients bits and pieces that they can and can't edit. There's various different pieces about design tools and color palettes and all sorts going on and on and on. And right at the bottom, this one is my favorite, although I don't know how well this will be introduced at the beginning. Grid layout, the idea of adding grid variations for the group block that will allow you to display blocks within a group as a grid. Be nice if we could figure out how to get the full Monty version of grid in there, but I don't suppose we will. Anyway, there was my little soupçon, I don't know if that's the right French phrase, but I'm going with it, of what is coming in WordPress 6.6. So I'm just going to throw it out there. If any of you three have read that article and feel like you've got something to contribute,
I'd like us to scroll.
Okay. You want the bit at the bottom that I never remembered about. Where do we go?
I feel that if you're going up a little bit, keep going down. No, keep going down.
Up. Oh, up as in down. Up. That kind of up. Left. No, the other left.
There we go.
Okay.
So, obviously, everything Gutenberg is Gutenberg. And to be honest, I reckon about 90% of people are now reaching editor fatigue syndrome and don't care about patterns and things. So, there are some nice features that are not related to the editor, the biggest of which is for auto updates are being enabled with rollbacks. So that means that if your rollbacks have been in WordPress for a little while, but if you manually did an update and something went horribly wrong, WordPress would go, not a problem, I've just rolled back that plugin, carry on. Now that's being enabled on automatic updates, which means if a plugin fails on an automatic update, it will just roll back.
So If you set automatic updates, let's say you've got a WordPress site and you've got 10 plugins on there, and you set everything to automatically update, core plus all the plugins.
As you should.
Right. If one of them fails for reasons unknown, WordPress will automatically say, okay, that failed. Let's just go back to the previous version. Do you know if you get an alert or something like that? I have a feeling you get an email or something to say your site.
You get an email and it references it on the plugin page as well.
So then I guess it's time to speak to the developer of the plugin, or maybe even the developer of the plugin from their own knowledge will hopefully figure that out. But that's really cool. So preventing more white screens of death, basically.
And taking away that last sort of argument that, I can't set automatic updates because the things might error. Well, now things will just correct themselves if that happens.
Right.
I think this combined with a lot of people seem to be really hesitant to do automatic updates, thinking that they are better than an automatic update system, and they're not. We're not robots. Why on earth do we think we're robots and press buttons and do this manually? So this has been one of those little barriers to getting people to do these. Our arguments are, well, I will know if something breaks. Now, the fun part of this is that it's manually, if you've been hitting the update button manually, rollback has already existed.
And
so all of these people have been doing it manually, have been being protected by this and not realized it, which I find quite funny in its own way. So now on automatic updates, everybody gets the benefits. Also, if you scroll up just a tiny bit, now upwards
up as in down that version of up,
yeah,
okay,
you also have dropping support for PHP 7.0 and 7.1.
Okay.
Which is just, they're only 10 years out of date. It's we can throw. But no, the figures for usage now are so tiny, and very few people were ever on 7.1. Most people jumped from 7 to 7.2 anyway. So that minimum supported is now bumping it up, meaning that there's a bunch of stuff that can be done in core to change across. It means plugin developers now can do a lot more with types, and there's a lot more guard clausing that we can do because of that. And so you should see improvements in plugins and less failures generally. So there are two things I want to highlight because I realize that we're going to have multiple articles about Gutenberg, and it's often hard not to understand that there are other things happening in the WordPress lore. And they are quietly, little things like this have been happening a lot over the last year or two, chipping away at those little features that most people won't notice but are actually making life so much better for.
Do you know, Tim, Michelle, just to carry that thread on for a little moment. Do you know, so let's say, for example, I had a plugin which was automatically updated. It failed. It rolled back to the previous version. Do you know do I then have to sort of disable the disabled update, if you know what I mean? Do I have to go back into the backend and say, okay, actually re-enable this? Or do you know if it'll retry on the next version?
It will retry on the next go.
Okay, right.
And so if a developer pushes a fix, it will get the next version check will spot that it's bumped up a version and add it anyway. But it will retry regardless because it could have been a conflict with another plugin or other things could have been fixed on the way through.
Okay.
So, It's not a foolproof system. We're still at there are still potential edge cases. And that's why you will find that there are still things. Maybe hosting companies have got their own updating systems. They're probably still a little bit smarter than this is, but this is a massive step. And if you are the sort of person who has been hesitant about turning on automatic updates, this should be the thing that pushes you over the edge and gets you to do it. So
nice.
If you're not using automatic updates, shame on you at this stage.
Shame on you, says Tim.
Michelle makes a mental note to go check all of her websites.
That's right, yeah, so that you don't
change some settings.
That's right. Okay, so Peacher, Michelle, the floor is open if you have anything you want to add about that article.
I mean, what else is there to say?
There. Oh, fair enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
The more so,
Loads. I mean, I just can't cover everything. You can see that I've read it through and I've added my own little highlights. But honestly, there's a ton of new things intended for WordPress 6. So I'll just go through, you know, there's a load about design tools, mix and match typography and color palettes from all style variations. This is actually really cool. There's a little video here where I guess it's Anne has made a little video where she mixes and matches. So the colors and the typography are separate. And in this way, you can get dozens and dozens more combinations than you used to be able to do. Syncing specific blocks and attributes of patterns. I think we sort of mentioned that. Expanding block style variations for more styling options. That's probably what I was referring to just a moment ago. And the grid layout that we mentioned. And there was a comment that came in from Keith Devon. Hi, Keith. Any advice on when to use a sync pattern versus a custom post type for things like testimonials? Good question. Don't have an answer. Luckily, Alex does, or at least he's got his own experience. He says, for me, it depends on if I need to filter the data. If I do, I make it a custom post type or subcategory. Otherwise, I make it a pattern. So if there's no filtering of that data needed, just you're saying stick it in a pattern because it'll be static. And okay. And thanks go to Alex for doing that. And Courtney says, this post also covered the deprecation of the Ajax bit, allowing onboarding wizard redirect. We'll come into that. We'll come into that, Courtney. So that's why I didn't mention that. That was actually intentional. That's the first intentional thing that's happened during this show. Okay. Right. In that case, let's move on. Let's go. I think that's more. Yeah, there's another article about more or less the same thing, but it kind of goes into more detail about the design process. So I'll link to that in the show notes as well. Here we are. Right. Here we go. This is a nice bit of community news. The WP Community Collective, otherwise known by the acronym the WPCC, and GoDaddy launched a new program to empower and promote underrepresented speakers in WordPress. So this is a press release that came out about 6 days ago now. And I'll just read from the top. The WP Community Collective is delighted to announce the GoDaddy WC Fellowship. It's first corporate sponsorship within the WordPress community. The WC Fellowship aims to empower and promote underrepresented community members who are speaking, and we'll come back to that word in a moment, speaking at regional and flagship WordPress WordCamp. So there's a fairly constrained set of criteria there. You've got to be a speaker and it's got to be a regional or a flagship, so Asia, US or Europe. And Adam Warner, who we've had on the show, says this program isn't just about funding. It's about fostering connections, offering visibility and ensuring that our community reflects the broad spectrum of people who contribute to WordPress. What is the meat on the bones, though? Well, it's this. Each WC fellow, a recipient of this award, will receive a stipend of up to $1,500 to support the attendance of the conference, including contributor days. Applications for this will begin on the 7th of May. So they've been open for a few days now. And the event in question is WordCamp US, which is happening in Portland, Oregon later this year. So if you go to this, well, actually the URL is really long. It'll be in the show notes. But if you just go on the WP Community Collective, WPCC blog, I'm sure that you will find it there. It was released on the 6th of May, this article. Okay. Anybody want to contribute to that before we move on to some slightly related piece?
You could take a comment down for Courtney so we can see more of the page. But I'm excited about this.
Oh, thank you. Apologies.
Okay. I'm excited about this. I think everybody knows I do a lot of work in underrepresented communities. And I'm very excited about the fact that more people are stepping up to create opportunities for underrepresented folks. I know that there's a lot of work still to be done, but this is a huge step. And I think that companies putting forward some kind of program like this makes it it makes me happy. It just is one of those things that it really helps move the needle forward as far as the work that we do for underrepresented communities within WordPress, for sure.
And lovely little comment coming in from Matt G, boots on the ground. Matt G is one of the people organizing WordCamp Canada. WordCamp, eh?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he says it'd be really great to bring in some Indigenous voices to WordCamp Canada through that program. So there you go, from the horse's mouth, as it were, some real useful ideas there. So Okay, great. Peacha, anything before we crack on?
No, just my gratitude, because I've been helped before, so by various companies, by various people, such as Michelle here, so thank you. And it does mean a lot. It does mean a lot.
Yeah.
I think that I don't know. I mean, it's a wider conversation. So let's start from underrepresented, but also independent voices in general. It's nice to see helped out.
Yeah.
So thanks. So that's brilliant. I agree with Michelle.
If you haven't checked out the WPCC, just Google it or go to a search engine of choice, WPCC or WP Community Collective, and you'll be able to see that they've got these, I'm going to use the word scholarships. I think it's actually fellowships is the right word, for a broad range of different community initiatives. So this will drop into that as one thing that GoDaddy are paying for. But if you want to help out on a broader set of initiatives and you want to drop in $10, $100, knowing that that will help somebody in a specific use case, you can go and see what those use cases are and you can contribute to those. So it doesn't have to be a company like GoDaddy making it happen. It could be that you just dip into your own pocket with a small amount and help out in different ways. But yeah, the criteria here, speaker in this case at the beginning, WordCamp US, and it needs to be in the future, it'll be bound to flagship and regional WordPress events. Okay, so Tim, sorry, I forgot to include you if you wanted to say anything.
That's okay. Other than to say, going to WordCamps is really expensive.
Yeah.
And
expensive.
You know, the obviously, when you're not a working for a large company that's sponsoring the events or sponsoring to send you there, it can be for most people perhaps too expensive. And so anything we can do to get people who just would turn their heads and say, I can't do that, I can't go, like, especially if we are then encouraging them to speak, is a positive thing.
I think also, like, just sort of flipping this on its head as well, it's actually good. It's nice PR for the likes of GoDaddy in this case as well, because they get to put their name to something which is just utterly philanthropic. I mean, you know, whichever way you look at it, this is going to help an individual who probably wouldn't be able to go in other situations. And so, you know, bravo. I'm sure that if you go to the WPC, you'll be able to pick up the name of a bunch of other individuals and companies that are doing something similar. But yeah, nice initiative. And also the WPCC just makes a really sensible place to go in the future if you want to check those kind of things out. Having one place seems like a really sensible idea. Okay, right. So somewhat related to that, and I know that at the beginning of the show, Birgit was in the comments. So whether or not she's still here, and Birgit, if I sort of get the flavor of what you're trying to say here wrong, please just correct me. But Birgit produced an article. She's got the website coachbirgit.com, and you'll be able to find it. It was published on the 5th of May, so a little over a week ago. And this is about that. It's about attending WordCamps, but with a twist, right? So it says, in the world of... So the article, by the way, is called Inclusion in Action, calling for expanding travel funds to WordPress contributors, to WordPress contributors, yeah. In the world of WordPress and open source, we've started making strides towards inclusivity, especially with some companies setting up diversity travel funds for speakers from underrepresented groups. I refer the honorable lady and gentleman to the article I mentioned a moment ago. That's a UK parliamentary thing, by the way. That was just awful. I'll never do that again. I'm sorry. That's remarkable, but there's a big piece of the puzzle still missing. Backbone contributor day attendees and table leads are left out. Now, Birgit is one of these people. She says, as a long-term contributor, I've been currently pouring over 10 hours a week. Add them up, people. That's 520 hours a year. That's more work than I do of any kind in a year. She just does it as a contributor. 10 hours a week into WordPress projects as the founder and lead of the global WordPress DEIB working group, not for money or fame, but because I believe in it. And I've just missed out a little bit, but the financial reality of attending WordCamps, especially international ones, hits hard, just like Tim just said. It's time for a change. It's time for companies in the WordPress ecosystem to step up and extend travel funds to active contributors, not just speakers. This isn't about making it easier for us to attend. It's about recognizing the hard work and dedication for all contributors and ensuring our community is as diverse and inclusive as we aim for it to be. And I have to say, I genuinely didn't even think about this until I read that article. I swear that's ridiculous, right? But I hadn't equated, okay, if you're a contributor in another area, you should also be getting the option to go, not because you're speaking, but just because you've been a big cog in the wheel and helpful and thoughtful, and you'd contribute something by your presence and the conversations that you'd have and the things that you'd say and the, you know, the connections that you'd make and all of that. And so it feels like Birgit, if I scroll to the very bottom, now I don't know much about how this works. Maybe this is GiveWP, but it does appear from this. Yeah, thank you. I assumed it was. It does appear that Birgit, on the strength of this article, decided to put up a GoFundMe, if you like, mm-hmm. With a value of €1,200. By all accounts, that's now been met. So if that's the case, Birgit, congratulations for that. And, you know, your voice obviously got heard. But let's talk about the thing in general. Like I said, it hadn't even occurred to me. I never speak. I managed to get there by hook or by crook, sometimes being sponsored, sometimes paying for myself. But what do you think? Do you think Birgit's onto something? Everybody looks to go at the same time.
A little over a year ago, I started the selfie challenge that I do at major WordCamps, especially, where I ask people, does it take a selfie with me? Put it out there, hashtag Michelle and me. And through that, I have raised, over the last year and a half, over $5,000 of my own money, but also individuals and businesses that have contributed to that fund. All of that money has gone to support, I think now we're up to like 15 different speakers and organizers who are underrepresented people to attend WordCamps, and not just the flagship events, but regional camps. And all of those people, like I sponsored somebody, we being the collective people who have contributed to that, sponsored a speaker to be able to speak for the first time, on the African continent. Forgive me for not remembering where it was. It was over a year ago. Those kinds of opportunities are what I wish that we were doing at a more global level. So when Birgit writes about this, and when the WP Collective, Community Collective, does these kinds of events, it does help take the pressure off of somebody like me who is attending WordCamps and speaking at them and sponsoring them with my company, with Stellar WP and all of the other things that I do, because I'm trying so hard to help other people do that. And that's coming in through me. I'm not a nonprofit. I'm paying taxes on that money to the United States because it's coming in through my bank account. And so all of that goes to say that if more people were able to kind of get behind this, and if we found a better solution for helping get these speakers and sponsors, community members, whoever, volunteers, like whatever, however that looks, those communities come together in a huge way to create these amazing events that push the project forward, but also help people in general learn and do WordPress better. That's where a lot of decisions are made. That's where a lot of connections are made. And for those opportunities to happen, because we're able to sponsor people in there, would be amazing. And so it's started at grassroots, and it's starting to grow more. But I think we do need to talk about it more. And I'm really happy that Birgit is doing that. Jill Binder used to talk about it more. She's no longer part of that process. She's still, her heart is still in it, of course. But she has not been as outspoken in the last 6 months or so. And so, but because it's tiring to stand on the soapbox and say this over and over and over again is exhausting. I have a podcast. Ali Nimmons and I started Underrepresented in Tech. Now Saman Nasser from Yoast and I continue that podcast every week. It is exhausting to keep saying the same things over and over, but it has to be said. And those things need to move forward. And just because we get tired doesn't mean that the problem doesn't exist anymore. And so for more people to start using their voices to say these things out loud just makes me happy. Sorry, I just got a myself back again.
No. Thank you. That's great. I'll just do a few of the comments before I throw it to Tim and Peacher. So firstly, sure. Yeah, of course, Birgit, it was a fascinating piece. And the next one is from Mike Johnson, who now will forever be known in my head as the man who had to listen to me for 7 hours. Member of the organizing team for WordCamp Torino is also going to be setting up a similar page So she's made a huge contribution, but now, right now, can't afford to go to Torino. So that, okay, so that's another interesting thing. So somebody who's literally put heart and soul, I'm assuming from that, right, I'm putting words into your mouth there, Mike, but somebody who's put a lot of effort into organizing that event who can't themselves go, yeah, okay, that seems kind of unusual, right, doesn't yeah. it? Yeah. And then just a confirmation that, yes, it was GiveWP. And thanks to Michelle for adding in a license that was needed for making that work. WPCC, I think I used too many C's there. WP, CC. Two C's. Yeah, WPCC. Yes. Okay. Has more news next week. Okay. Watch this space. We'll be covering it.
And is it only me who thinks that we, every time I hear that, I go, when did WordPress start a cricket club?
Yeah, that's right. That's what goes through my head as well. But we're uniquely positioned.
That is such a British thing.
British thing.
Okay. It's like
and
juggle pims.
That's what we're drinking, right?
So it's hot. Why do you pims? It's so hot. Why do you have pins on your table?
So I wasn't putting words in Mike's mouth. He says heart and soul for sure. That's lovely. And then Cameron says, it's hard to say everything I want to, but yeah. In an ideal world, the WPC shouldn't need to exist. I get what you're saying.
Do my take on it.
But... And the fact that it is necessary is a sad reflection on the project. So before we move on to the next piece, I'll just hand it to Tim and to Peter if they've got anything to say about this. I know in the past, Peter, you've always had fairly vocal thoughts about, you know, those that can attend are those that can afford to attend. I remember you saying things like that.
It's like that. I'm gonna keep it short. I just have to commend. I just say that it's really not easy to make that kind of request. I am so delighted that Birgit can go to WordCamp now. And I have thought for a long, long time that I have been so privileged to be on the receiving end. And again, huge thanks to people like Michelle, who really, you bust a gut for us, and I appreciate it hugely. At the same time, I agree with Cameron. I think that it would be too long to actually have the long conversation about it, but I don't think it's a positive thing. And I think that everybody to have to do this. And I think that especially organizers should absolutely, as a minimum, they should get funded to travel there. And of course, contributors. It's crazy that that's even a thing. And because otherwise we get to the point where, you know, open source is only done by those who can afford to do it. And that's never the independent voices. So I think it's a way longer conversation. And as you say, Nathan, I have indeed lots of opinions about it. Michelle knows. Well, you all know, but there's no time for all of it. But right now, I just have to say I am so happy that Birgit can go, and I hope that more people like her can go. I'm not going this year because I'm not speaking, and therefore I'm not going. It's pretty much easy like that for me.
Right.
Not always. I've had to go. Not always. I have self-funded sometimes, but sometimes it's possible and sometimes not quite.
Birgit says thanks.
A lot of courage, because even asking for funding, sometimes even asking to be funded as a speaker takes courage, because it just feels weird.
And so there is, of course,
applaud. But yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say there's that chance that you get egg on your face. I don't mean that in the horrible way, but you know, you put a crowdfunder up and then you get like $9 or something and you feel like you've been kicked in the teeth because, you know, you feel more undervalued than you did prior to the crowdfunder. So firstly, Birgit, I'm glad that that isn't the case, and you've obviously exceeded your expectation. Okay, so Tim, anything before we move slightly on? It's totally related.
I just wanted to pick up on the speaker part, because speakers are very visible. We go up on the stage, and it's very easy for a company to sort of tie themselves to that speaker, because they can go, they see them on the stage, the speakers will be talking about them. When often there might be, there's an obvious link. You can understand why someone would want to sponsor a speaker. It takes someone to really think about it, to go, well, actually, I want to sponsor that human being, because they're not sponsoring the human being. They're sponsoring the person, a persona on a stage. And it takes quite a lot to sponsor someone, a human being who's there to contribute. And I think they're different things, but yeah. I too have many, many, many thoughts on independent voices and both for WordCamps, for organizing and bits. And I think between us all, we could be ranting for weeks. And unfortunately, the solution is somehow to get us an infinite pot of money, which I'd love. And if anybody's got one of those, we could all do with them.
Send it my way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'll distribute it very fairly.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. The slightly related piece to this is actually, where's it gone? Here we go. It is on the sustainability blog. So it's make.wordpress.org/sustainability. And it's Courtney Robertson, who's in the comments. And this was 10th of May, so a few days ago. Recognizing contributions and acknowledging challenges. And this is a piece all about, well, kind of how do you acknowledge somebody who doesn't write code? Like, how do you say, okay, your contribution was worth this and your contribution was worth that? And it's not even that. It's not trying to like atomize it and make it into a value. Like you get 10 points and you only get 6 points. It's not that. It's more about how, as a project, do we figure out what is a contribution? And how do they get acknowledged and recognized? And this is not a suggestion list. This is a, like, here's some thoughts. Can we have some comments about what this would be? So in the context of WordPress's Five for the Future initiative, various contributors, and I'm reading, from different professional backgrounds play a critical role by dedicating a percentage of their resources to enhance the platform. So companies with plugins, web hosts, individual contributors, agencies, community members. But then how do we make sure that even more than that, if you like, get the recognition that they deserve? How do we make it transparent and traceable? How do we make sure that the quality is measured and that the impact is measured? That, boy, I mean, I don't even know where to begin with that. How do you measure the impact of somebody who, I don't know, does something that's not a piece of code? How do we document it and acknowledge what they're doing? How do you make sure that it can be scalable at the size of WordPress? Because obviously, you know, WordPress is a load of spaghetti. It's really hard for the Hydra to know what's going on with its other heads. And then there's something about informal structures. So I just wanted to point this out. This is Courtney's attempt to get the conversation going. It hasn't really started as yet. But if you want to go, it's called Recognizing Contributions and Acknowledging Challenges, May the 10th, over at make.wordpress.org/sustainability. How do we make the project more sustainable? I'm sorry, Courtney. I feel like I butchered your article there, but that was what I could manage. And what does Courtney say? At the bottom, there's a footnote to chaos metrics. Thank you. Let me go and have a look. Da-da-da-da-da. Here we go. Number here. Let me open that in a new tab. Chaos.community, all the metrics. Okay, I'll explore that at my own length. And then Andy has jumped in. Dr. Andy Fragan in the comments shares about his an impact of contribution that he faces. Andy Fragan is something else, isn't he? He's like a trauma surgeon. And in his spare time, he gives 15 hours a week to working on core.
Extraordinary.
You know. I mean, what? Wow. Okay, anything about that? Probably not, because it was very much related to what we talked about a moment ago. But it's a little bolt-on extra. Tim, you're all going. let's go Tim first. Let's go in reverse order that we did last time. So Tim first.
Just the only thing that always worries me when we talk about looking at the impact an individual has done to a project is that it's comparing it to other people. You can't not end up comparing contributions with other people. And I think that can often lead to completely demoralizing, especially with a project so big and where someone looks across at somebody else who's doing X, Y, and Z, who is the director on 28 boards and has got 12 podcasts and she doesn't sleep at all. And you're there going, but I can't even just get out of bed this morning. But I will make this contribution today. And this is my little thing. And that little thing might have a humongous impact on one person. Oh no, I think I've upset Michelle. But But that person's tiny thing that most people would look around and say that support forum post that they wrote, where they were like, "Oh, I know the answer to this one question," might change someone's entire outlook on WordPress. It might change someone's entire, for all you know, it might change that person's life. They might be able to get that JP gift page or whatever it is that they were doing. And so it's a really tiny thing, but it has a huge impact. And no sort of metric is going to be able to understand that. I worry when we start trying to put scores on humans.
Let me just add a few things that Courtney's thrown in. So she said, first of all, there's a follow-up post coming out tomorrow. That will include tools and working group details in sustainability. Then she's asking you a question, Tim. Do you see a way, instead of focusing on people, this could help elevate what parts of the project are healthy or needing additional help?
I mean, that's probably the way to do it, is that we have the teams. And within WordPress and within Make, you can see all the various teams. And if metrics were surrounded about them, or at least aggregated to the team, maybe that would be a route. But and some people really want recognition and want, and they like metrics because they like to know where they are on the ladder. They like the social karma of building up the bits. But there are others who will shy away, and that will scare them. And so it's getting that balance right. There are certain people I know who are really excited that they can get badges and try to gamify the system just to get all the WordPress badges. And others who like that would just terrify them. I think ultimately people, we put a lot of emphasis on you should contribute more. You're not doing enough contributing. If you want things to change, you should contribute. And it can overwhelming for people. They can feel like, oh, I just wanted to tell you that there was a bug. No, you must now do this. And they're like, oh, no, I'll just go back over here. And we lose so many people because they're churned into a machine that's contribute. And then you're told, oh, you don't need to be a coder to contribute. And that's true. You don't. But it's really hard to actually convince someone that when they're suddenly being thrown into Track and Make and all this.
Yeah.
So I guess I've stretched this into a different conversation, but it's... Yeah, I have the whole mechanism I don't think work for most people.
I think it's very, very hard to measure something in a project which is in many ways held together by philanthropy and good intentions. And you're right.
Goodwill and
the goodwill
that everybody is there who wants to be there.
Yeah.
And then it is awkward because we do obviously have people who are sponsored who are just giving up their time. And then you've got things like whatever it is, five, you getting really hashed around. It is really frustrating that you got all these aspects and but it does really feel like you're being forced to do this stuff. And I feel incredible pressure. I know Cameron's just saying he doesn't know. But I'll be honest. I've stopped doing a lot. I've stepped away from an awful lot of what I would consider contribution because it's just grinding my head into a wall and it hurts. And eventually you just give up. A lot of the time when we're talking about community, it's a community for some people. It's not a community for everyone.
I'll just paraphrase.
We think we're really good at being open and brilliant and wonderful, but we are still a really cliquey, hard to get into group of people. And we are putting barriers up even if we don't realize them. And that goes for everybody and across all of like different open source projects.
So
nature of life, I guess.
A few comments on that then. So first of all, responding to Tim, Cameron says, I don't even report bugs anymore because of this sort of behavior. So that was what you were just saying. Thanks for shining a light on it, Tim. And then Courtney chimed in with, I hear you, Tim. Please know my main focus is on how we can gauge the health of the project holistically as well as recognizing contributions differently than release props as primary metrics used. I think it's the measurement thing, isn't it? That's the hardest bit. That's what you were kind of saying. And then Beer gets back, having better ways to track no code contributions and maybe measure the impact helps also individual contributors to make their case while looking for sponsorship. Okay.
That's a really good point. To counter myself.
And it just goes back to the same issue, actually. Sorry, Tim. Carry on.
I'll just do the next one quickly. There's one more comment from Peter. And he says, Tim raises many great points. Crikey, we're going to have that as the show's title. And regarding not being a developer, you may not need to code, but it sure helps to know how to use the coder tools like GitHub. That is a barrier. Okay, and there's another one just dropped in. Ooh, apparently. Here we go. Oh, barriers. Oh, I get it. So this is Courtney. She's responding to Peter, I'm guessing. I get it. I look to other open source projects for inspiration about how we could address similar challenges. Yeah, it was interesting.
Paying contributors?
Buried in that article. I'm just going to put it back on the screen. I don't know where. There was something about... Where was it? There was something in here about the sort of like the way that the I'll just raise it on the screen quickly. Unlike many open source projects that use formal charters to define the roles and powers of different teams, WordPress operates without such structures. This flexibility allows for dynamic adaptation, but can sometimes lead to unexpected changes, such as recent discontinuation of the marketing team, which we spoke about last week. So that's interesting. So the other open source projects may be able to shine a light on different ways that they do things. Maybe better, maybe worse, but worse.
It's also remember that they have the same problems. This is not unique to WordPress. And
I guess the scale of WordPress
just sit there and go, "Oh, we're doing bad."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. Doom speaker, speak your doom. Right. So okay. So that was interesting. Michelle, Peacher, Tim, anything else on that before we move on? I feel like we maybe cracked that one.
I'll just say that when we have Herculean issues or projects or whatever we want to call it, like funding people, like making sure that things are sustainable, like recognition and those kinds of things, they are huge problems to undertake. They're big hurdles. And that sometimes stops us from continuing to work toward them because of this inertia of it's so big, how could we possibly begin to chip away at it? But continuing to talk about these things, keeping them in the front line, I don't have a solution. We actually had a session on this at the community summit before WordCamp US last year about recognition and how some people love the badges and some people could care less about the badges. How do we keep people interested in moving things forward? And I think just we need to keep talking about it. Somebody somewhere will have an idea, or multiple people will come together with ideas and we will move it forward. But I love that we continue to pull it in here and other places, because just to say it's too big a problem to solve doesn't help us in any way, shape, or form. So the other thing I'll say, though, is as you start to make huge changes to things like this, you will never make everybody happy. And so we have to be okay with some people being unhappy as we move things forward. That is just the way the world works.
I think it's kind of a basic of human nature, isn't it, to want recognition. Like you may want you may want it out in the open so that everybody knows, you did this, let's blow their trumpet. Everybody mention them on social media. Other people, Birgit would be a good example here. The recognition is, can I just go to a WordCamp that I wouldn't be able to go to otherwise? Would that be okay? And in this case, the recognition hasn't come from .org or it's come from individual members of the community who've delve into their pocket and said, yes, I recognize you. And that's really nice that she's been able to do that. But having something like flexible, it's not one size fits all. It's a spectrum of recognition. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's now the universal symbol for spectrum.
It also doesn't address the fact that there are so many gap-filling projects that are not part of the actual project itself, right? So, like the WP Community Collective, for example, that is not something that's right. I mean, yes, there is recognition by folks about it, but it's not something that's universally recognized within the project itself. There are so many projects like that, like underrepresented in tech, like I can't even think of all of them off the top of my head, of course, but there are so many things that so many of us are doing. Marcus with the WP World, right? Yeah, connecting people. Those are not part of the project. They're not part of the open source project. They're tangential to it. And they fill these gaps that a project like the open source project has, but there is no official recognition of those either, in spite of the hundreds of hours that go into projects. So I just want to throw that out there as well.
No, that's fine. Peacher is back. She went away for about 1 second. Peacher, anything to say before we...
Yes. So first of all, thanks to both Michelle and Tim for all your wise words. It's another really big topic, isn't it? From my point of view, the whole thing about contribution is that all the things that Tim said, all the things that Michelle said, plus a little bit that it's not always easy to find your own way of contributing because of the way contributing is structured. I think that you kind of said that a little bit, Tim, but it can be, I sometimes struggle to find the right way to contribute. But I think that I know lots of people who have never contributed anything to Core or to any of the Make WordPress teams, but they have contributed locally in so many ways that go completely unrecognized. And a lot of them are organizers that have buried their businesses into the ground for the good of the community, of the local community, and so many even satellite events and things like that. And so there are many, many ways of contributing. And Courtney, by the way, Robertson, is someone who does so much towards that. So that's really, really great. And it's all, to me, a part and parcel of the same topic that keeps coming up this week. But there's also some people have more time than others. If you're if you're single, for instance, you don't have children and you're not disabled, you'll have more time, but you may have other hurdles that make it difficult for you to contribute. But I have heard sometimes that unless you contribute to Core, you don't really understand the project. That's not nice to hear. And I've heard it quite a few times, and it doesn't make me want to contribute to Core. It's sort of the opposite. So, it's a big topic. And I don't know whether I've probably made it muddier. Sorry, in my sort of rambling. Okay.
Bring Peacher and Michelle. I want to just throw out one idea. We get rid of the word contribute and just go back to help.
Ooh.
Some point, contribute became this thing, and it came with baggage and it came with stuff. But when I've been involved in WordPress for a very, very long time, and we started off by just being helpful. You were helpful when you replied on a forum. You were helpful when you did, when you fixed that bug. You were helpful when you set up a user group. Those weren't contributions. They didn't come with a stamp of approval. They didn't come with some sort of metrics or bits. They were just helping people.
I have a suggestion.
That's where we should go.
I'm going to interrupt. I've coined a phrase, and I think we should call them help tributors. How about that? Yeah, that's the answer. Encapsulate.
That rolls off the tongue.
No, I know. I even practiced it under my breath. No, I. Do you know what, Tim? I think there's something in that. The word sometimes carries more weight than it appears, and I think you might be onto something.
Because tell you what, but for instance, it's things like then it becomes I contributed as an organizer to two WordCamps. For some reason, it doesn't appear in my profile, and therefore I am sort of downgrade made to. Do you know what I mean? I don't care. But then if you have a badge systems, then I am sort of, someone like that, it can happen, is like lower ranked or something like that.
Well, here's Peter. To your point, Peter says, as a meetup organizer and contributor on several non-official channels, I put tons of time into WordPress every month. And I guess he's saying that maybe the recognition isn't there. I wonder, Peter, if you feel willing to share, does that tick you off? Are you totally sanguine about that? Or is there some sort of... resentment's the wrong word, but it's the only word that's coming into my head at the moment. Some level of, that doesn't seem quite right. And then Courtney's back. Peacher, I just spoke with Mike Otteri about this, who is involved with GatherPress. Okay, so Peacher, I guess maybe hang out with Courtney after this call.
Yeah.
And always, Birgit yeah. says, as I learned recently, a lot of WordPress meetups in Africa just organize organize all of their community work over WhatsApp and don't use Slack at all. So no notion of what's going on there. No recognition. In fact, no way to be recognized, but the work gets done. So gosh, recognition, eh? And help tribute.
Remember when you said you didn't think there was anything left to talk about this issue?
Yeah.
10 minutes ago?
Yeah. No, it's not.
It certainly is.
That is one of the things that I love about this show is my intuitions are usually quite wrong about what I think people will be interested
occasionally.
In.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Well, you know, I put these articles up and very often the things that I think, oh, that'll be fun to talk about, nobody wants to talk about, and vice versa. And that is brilliant. How nice.
I love it.
I think we've probably gone through a bit of that, but certainly that's dominated this conversation. We were talking sort of about events and a couple of things to mention. The first one, as I said already, I haven't got it on the screen, but if you're in the UK, the premier WordCamp in the UK, the only WordCamp in the UK, WordCamp Whitley Bay in the northeast of England, just on the coast near Newcastle, is taking place in, Tim, July? I want to say July.
Whitley Bay in the July the 12th, 2024. It's up on my screen.
Is it a Friday?
It's okay.
Because I had it in as a day when I was doing this show on a Monday. And so I was actually talking to Michelle about it this week. No, I'll be at Whitley Bay. I had to cancel one of the shows and then realized, no, hang on a minute. I don't know what happened there, but it's available. Tickets are available if you want to be a speaker or a sponsor. If you go to just Google WordCamp Whitley Bay. So is it a Friday?
It is a Friday.
Friday.
I'll just check that too.
Okay. And another WordPress event, this time in London. Sorry, the UK focus here, but, you know, I'm from the UK. The WordCamp London meetup is after speakers. If you are in and around the London area and are willing to travel there, they're after speakers. Long-form talks, 25 to 30 minutes long, and lightning talks, 10 minutes long. And they're putting that on each and every month. You can actually see the sort of schedule. Obviously, some of these are coming up very soon, but you can see the dates that they're doing. It's the last Thursday of each month. And some of them are to do with Woo, but you can see, well, 1, 2, 3 to do with Woo. You can see that one of them's fully booked, but these slots, these other ones need your help. So if you're a speaker in the WordPress space and you want to contribute your time and you want to be in person in London, then there you go. Okay, back to Peter, just to give us that context. There is a level of frustration when it comes to what is recognized. More frustrating for me is how much Slack and GitHub equals contribution. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
So hard for me to do to contribute on Slack. I just can't
drop Peter's do it. So that you can see.
Yeah, sorry, I apologize. actually, it's because the screen is on. If I take the screen away and put Peter's comment, but there we go. Everybody's happy now.
It's all right, Nathan.
Yeah.
You can take a break from my mug.
But that's an interesting point, right? You know, maybe Peter's onto something. You know, if Slack and GitHub is heavily skewed.
I feel the same, but the Slack thing, I just can't work like that. I can't do it. It really is what stops me. I have tried with the design team and also with the accessibility team, and I cannot get my head around it. I don't know. It's like a limitation that I have. I just can't work on Slack.
I don't like Slack either. I'll just say that. I don't like anything linear like that where you get lost. If you go on holiday for a week, it's like scroll. And I don't know. My head just doesn't work in that frame. dare I say it? Can we do WordPress via email? No. Everybody's face is telling the actual truth. No, you can't. Okay. So anyway, a couple of events there. That's really nice. Bit of self-promotion, but in the AI space, I did a couple of episodes of podcasts, which just happened to be about AI. If you listen on the Tavern, the Jukebox podcast, chatted with an automatician called Paolo Belcastro, who's been working on Jetpack API. Honestly, fascinating conversation, deeply thoughtful, very obviously very intelligent person who is giving thought to what will come with WordPress and AI, you know, inside the editor to help, but also on in terms of code. Speaking of code and WordPress, I also spoke to a chap on, this is WP Builds, a chap called Alex Borto, who has a plugin. It's called WP Turbo. It's at wpturbo.dev. And the intention of that plugin is to help you write code with AI, you know. And so anyway, two bits of content to go and check out. Convezio, I don't know much about the Convezio hosting platform. I might even be encapsulating that wrong, but my understanding is they're a sort of managed WordPress host. And they have acquired a company called Growmatic to bolster their WooCommerce marketing automation platform. I have nothing else to add to that. It's just, you know, it's nice to see some of these things happening. A couple of years ago, it was like every week we had about nine of these stories, but it's quietened right down. So that's kind of nice. Okay. Oh, this came from Courtney. I'm pretty sure, Courtney, did you send me this? I think you did. And I'd never come across this before. This is the design share. It's at make.wordpress.org/design. And this, you'll find this, this was on the 6th of May, 2024. I have nothing to say, really. And if you're listening to this, apologies. It's entirely visual. I sincerely apologize. But what we're looking at is screenshots of what people think might be a nice way of making WordPress in all of its different forms look like in the future. So we're looking at an upgraded Learn homepage. I've got to say, I quite like it. If that dropped into my, if that dropped, that I'd be really pleased with that. And it just goes on and on for all sorts of different things. So, I don't know, dark mode switcher. There's some possibilities here, little videos of how that might be implemented, how Openverse search might work, what grid integration might look like inside the block editor with little handles and things like that, block pages, blah, blah, blah. It's a lovely way to waste half an hour. Go and look at these designs and see what you make of them, and obviously then make some commentary. I don't know if there's a deeper purpose to those pictures than that, or other than it just be a collection of things that have been put forward as possible suggestions. Anyway, I thought that was really nice. Comment from Courtney. Did we do that one? The titles of this team's posts aren't super interesting, but the content, what they're working on in design, is shown. Exactly. Yeah, the title is not great, is it? Design share number 55. But the content is brilliant. So again, link will be in the show notes. And thank you once more for Courtney for sharing that. All right. This one is on Michelle, because this is a Stellar WP piece. It's a press release, I guess, as much as anything else. It's an announcement. Stellar WP acquires Learn-Add-ons from Wisdom Labs. Tell us more, Michelle.
Well, we are always looking to make the LMS process with through LearnDash something that is easier and incorporates more more opportunities for education and integration. What's the word I'm looking for? Engagement with your students. Yeah. And so there's a whole series of plugins that we've acquired, add-on plugins to LearnDash from Wisdom Labs, who have been doing a lot of work within the LMS and specifically within LearnDash for years. And so we're really excited about starting to implement those in. Those hit our site and our users last week when this went live on Wednesday. And yeah, I mean, there's not a ton to say other than the fact that we're really excited to offer more opportunities for our LearnDash users to have more features.
So the following
you should practice that better.
The following add-ons will be brought under the LearnDash banner. So instructor role support, reports for LearnDash, group registration, ratings, reviews and feedback, Illumine, I don't know how to pronounce that, apologies, and content cloner. Do you know, Michelle, off the top of your head, if you are a LearnDash subscriber, are these kind of like added in and you need to like upgrade to take those on, or is this like just part of the bundle of bits and pieces that you offer?
Yeah, so they're part of our bundle, and then you would still need to download them and put them on your website, of course, but they would become part of your bundle and part of your account with us at learndash.com.
Okay, so there's, in the previous case, you would have had to have had another account somewhere else, pay them a fee. Now it's part of your bundle fee. If you've got the correct bundle, then they're available. Okay, so you can check that out, learndash.com. And it will be available in the show notes. Right, let us move on. We're not doing that one. That was a small glimpse of HTMX, and Tim doomed that to death before we hit record. there's no way that's coming in. This is a little community announcement. Paul Halfpenny works for an agency, I believe. I'm going to say founder. He's certainly right at the top of the tree in that agency. It's called Filter, and they have a plugin called Personalized WP. It's a plugin which enables you to set conditions to make the front end of your website different based upon, oh, I don't know, it might be the time of year or whether somebody's bought a WooCommerce product or something like that. You get the picture, you know, you set a condition and then there's a trigger on the back end, which makes your front end look slightly different. They're doing a webinar about it. It's on Wednesday, the 5th of June. It's called Conversion Boost Strategies for WordPress Success with Personalized WP. So if you've got that plugin and you want to know more, great. If you don't have that plugin, but you're interested in it, you can go to Eventbrite and search for it. But again, links will be in the show notes. Completely free, 5th of June. So you've got a couple of weeks to sign up for that. Right. Okay. Earlier, I have a memory, but it's going fast. It's slipping away from me. Why is this story relevant to something that we said earlier? This is about the refresh of the plugins in WordPress 6.5. So there's a bit of a kerfuffle in the WordPress community. You may have missed it. You may not even notice that there's something that's changed. But in WordPress 6.5, sort of snuck in, really, I guess is the right way to describe it, a slight change, which meant that when you installed and activated a plugin, there was no page refresh, and a lot of plugin developers had taken the opportunity of that page refresh, hooked into it, and then done something like an onboarding wizard because, you know, you've activated our plugin. We now want to step you through setting it up, and a bit of a kerfuffle. And ever since then, we now have, I don't know if you've updated WordPress now, if you install and activate a plugin, you get a helpful little button. I can't remember what it says. I saw it for the first time. I thought, oh, that's new. So you can manually refresh the page with the help of this button. It's right at the top. It's right in, you know, near the admin bar and all that, below the admin bar. And that enables you to trigger all of these things. And it would appear from the likes of Smub. Apologies, Smub. I think this might be, is this, oh, what is it? Syed? Syed from, is that, mm-hmm. It looks like Syed. Anyway, I don't know if it is from Active. What are they called? Awesome Motive. That's it. He thinks that really we should go back, and so does Yoast. Yoast seems to think that really, you know, this kind of was snuck in. Why don't we go back to the old version? If you're not a plugin developer and you're not bothered about onboarding, this probably won't affect you. But if you are a plugin developer and you want people to use your product and get to know what's going on, this seemed like a reasonable hijack of the WordPress installation process for plugins. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back.
It's not great UX.
Yeah. No, it's not. So tell me why. Tell me why when I activate a plugin, is it not UX to then be, to then show me what to do with that plugin next?
No, I think the opposite.
Oh, so that what WordPress put with the button?
I think that.
Right.
I think that before you would activate a plugin, I mean, the point is that a user should never be left there with nothing, nowhere to go and nothing to do. So before, you would, especially for people who are DIY and don't know it well, then it's helpful to show a wizard. Because if you know it, you're like, yeah, it's okay, I don't need it. And you can, you know, cancel it or whatever. But if you're a user that needs it, it's just helpful. Because one thing that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last thing that if I activate a plugin, I'm normally moving on from there. I either need to go into the settings. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to stay on that page, am I? I want to go and do something else. So showing users where to go is good UX. Taking that option away is not good UX. And Andrew Palmer is the one who made his point quite eloquently, because also saying that for the type of clients that he's got, that was really unhelpful, and he had to help out quite a few clients after that change happened.
There was a sort of slightly added on to this is the idea that most WordPress users, well, this is intuition, right? This is not based upon any data, and it's not my intuition. It's come from either this post that we're looking at on the screen, or from a post linked by Yoast. It's this one here, 61040, that most people are not bulk installing plugins through something like WP CLI. Most end users are installing a plugin, clicking activate one thing at a time, and then they're expecting something to happen.
Something.
Yeah, but obviously there is the capacity to go into, you know, the command line and like chuck in 15 plugins all in one hit.
Not just the command line.
You
can select all to plugins and click activate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, thank you. But I think that the intuition that is being expressed in the post that you see on the screen and Yoast is Yoast the person, not the company, I should make that clear, is that most people are just doing it one at a time. Like you would do, let's say, for example, with Apple Macs, what's it called? The Mac App Store, or on the Android App Store. You might update them all in one go, but you are searching for one. What are they even called? Apps, right? On the Android App Store, I guess. You're searching for one, you install it, and then you probably are going to launch it the moment it's installed and therefore get into whatever wizard they've set up for you. So storm in a teacup, maybe, but I think the experience that I would prefer is if we just went back to what we had in 6.4 and before, I don't know.
Anyway, so to sort of take the devil's advocate, because I think I'm generally the argument is that the old way was broken and was never intended.
Right, that's true. You're right. Yeah,
because we built a system where we can activate multiple plugins at once. As Peter was saying, you normally want to do something immediately afterwards. Do you want to do 10 things immediately afterwards when all 10 of them try to fight as to who's on Morning Lizard gets to come first? And all of this was hooked into a filter that was there that, people sort of worked out how to do this and this is true. You can fix this. I saw a plugin in the wild like a couple of days ago that basically just polls itself. So it has a transient set through. Have I been going in my onboarding wizard yet? No. Well, you will redirect me. I will get redirected the second that happens. Because the moment you activate a plugin, it does load up inside the system. So and so there are ways around this if you want to hack around even more. But the better solution is what was proposed on Aaron's tickets, which was have a proper onboarding set of APIs that allows you to say, I would like to onboard. And that way we can then have opting out of onboarding.
Nice.
So that the folks can say, actually, I'm a power user. I can just go ahead without you sending me in funny directions. And then you can support both routes. Whereas at the moment, we're having to favor one route or the other.
Fair point.
Historically, we've favored the route of click once and stuff happens. And I feel that we shouldn't make that change until that got fixed. But both routes were possible and things were breaking. The hack that's in place now where you have to do a refresh, more frustrating for the vast majority of people, but actually is fixing edge cases so things don't get broken.
Yeah.
Not as all immediately through, even though I'd personally just reverse it back if we could.
Yeah, I don't have an answer, but anyway, there you go. Storm in a teacup. I know the time is short, so I'm just going to wrestle and quickly go through a few things, if that's okay with our panel, because I want to allow some things to get raised. Here we go. First thing, if you have heard of this platform, it's called North Commerce. It's kind of like a new incumbent in the WooCommerce, if you like, space. It's e-commerce for WordPress, but with a different twist. It's called North Commerce. This is a deal. They've got a deal on at the moment. You can see $199 one time for 25 stores. So I thought I'd mention that. Links in the show notes tomorrow. And here we go. On to the user submitted content. This one came from Sir Tim. What? Are they never going to live this down? What? What's this one?
You know, he's been writing to request people be given honors and everything.
Okay.
If you want to make it official, you've got to put the work in.
Okay. So we're looking at, I can't even parse that. Binate Thought? No, I don't even know how to pronounce that website name. Prioritization is a challenge in open source. What's this a piece about, Tim?
Well, it, funny enough, links into an awful lot of what we've been talking about.
I thought it might.
All the way through. And it's talking about at its core, open sources about humans and humans doing things, and that sometimes as a contributor or helper, it can be really hard to find your way. And yeah, it's some really good thoughts, and I encourage everybody to read it.
Okay. Because we're in a rush, I will just simply say that the piece is called Prioritization is Challenging in Open Source. And I'm just scrolling down to the bottom to see if I can see the author, which I cannot. Go on.
It's Tammy.
Tammy, it's Tammy's. Okay. Thank you so much. This is Tammy. I guess we're talking about Tammy Lister. She has a piece there. I will link to it in the show notes for tomorrow so that you can drag that onto your screen. Honestly, I could look at this for like half an hour. I got lost in this. Again, this is Tim. This is XKCD. Again, not easy to say, who draws cartoons of stickmen on the internet and is very, sometimes very profound, I have to say. But what, why are we looking at this? What's going on?
Every year for their April Fool's projects, they do fun things. And this is the background information on the XKCD April Fool's from last year. And I'll be honest, it's pretty.
Oh, look at it. Oh,
it's very, very visual.
Yeah.
Very visual. Wow. I can't promise that I understand what's going on, but it is very.
You're not meant to. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Okay.
Bit of a Rube Goldberg machine, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But lots of balls floating around inside of squares with all these little paths. It's like Donkey Kong gone nuts in many platform games. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Again, link to in the show notes. It's just a bit of fun. And Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Peter wanted me to mention this, so I will very quickly. It's happening this Thursday, 16th of May, 2024. Was there anything particular you wanted to add rather than just raise awareness of it, Peter?
There are so many initiatives, so many different webinars, so many courses, so many free initiatives about accessibility on Thursday. And it would be great to take the opportunity. It's a little bit of accessibility week. There'd be a lot going on, I think, the whole of this week. And this is the page where you can find, I think, all of the events or most of the events. I would recommend finding out more about it because I mean, first of all, it makes a lot of business sense. And also in the light of forthcoming legislation, it is pretty much becoming, it's necessary.
Yeah.
Unless I'd say. Yeah. So take the opportunity to learn for free because of this event, global event.
So the website URL is sublimely great. It's accessibility.day. How easy is that to remember? That's lovely. So the Global Accessibility Awareness Day, the 13th such event, May the 16th, 2024. Once more, accessibility.day if you want to find out more. And now just to round it off, some tweets. And this is the first one, which is going to cause anger. And the second one is also going to cause anger if you are me. But here's the first one. So, okay, Peter, explain. This is Tim Cook. We can't normally, we wouldn't normally rail against the mighty Apple for fear of a takedown, but we're not the first to rail at this. Was it just the optics of this? They produced an ad. In that ad, they put a load of really nice objects into a basically like a machine which squashed them absolutely wafer thin flat. Loads of nice things like an arcade machine and loads of tins of paint and
an actual piano.
Was it the optics? Why did people protest about this?
It's not the optics. It's the concept. It's the waste. It's the waste, but also the notion that we won't need all of that anymore. You can do all of that with the iPad. So let's take all the fun away from life and give you an iPad instead. It felt to so many people completely against the spirit of Apple. Those of us old enough to remember the 1984 ad, but you can actually find it on YouTube.
Yeah, I remember.
They were positioning themselves as the opposite to that, now to dystopia. And now they seem to be promoting dystopia. It was such a
what, it's a huge mess.
Misfire.
It was complete misfire. And so many people just went completely berserk as soon as they saw it. And so much so that I think as a first and maybe a last in Apple's history, they retracted the ad. You can still watch it. I think it might still be on the homepage. But there was an apology. And my apology by Tim Cook saying, yeah, basically, we didn't mean to upset people. We got it wrong. And we're like, yeah, you did get it wrong. But to me, as a designer and someone who's worked with agencies that might have done this ad, I immediately thought, didn't an agency do this? Because the level of sign off that there has to be on something like this, and it's not, I mean, they've got money to burn, but the level, do you know what I mean? How could there have been nobody saying, wait a minute, this is not quite right? But then, as I was saying, I've got friends who work at Apple, and I'm not okay. Let's say that I've heard that probably it was an inside, meaning it was an internal job. The Apple creative, whatever, did it. So they didn't spend any money on an external agency, because they immediately thought, oh my God, have the agency been paid or whatever? And someone said, yeah, don't worry. The reason why Apple make money is because they don't pay. They try and avoid spending it on things like this. So it's a whole set of interesting things. But to me, I don't know if people feel the same about it. To me, it was the waste, but more than the waste, was like they could have spun it in such a way that you could have condensed everything, all the creativity condensed instead of destroyed, like making it turn into something. Do you know what I mean? Something was like that. Some scene are really bad.
You can well imagine a kind of rival ad that some TikToker will make where, you know, somebody like smashes their iPad up with a hammer. And then gets on with things like, oh, I've got some time now to play the piano because I'm not completely addicted to my iPad. And I might go and paint a picture with that handy tin of paint that I've got lying around, you know, those kind of things. So you heard it here first. If anybody does that video, that was my idea. So, okay. And last but by no means least. So over the UK, and I expect large parts of the Northern Hemisphere, over Friday and Saturday, the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, descended upon us. I didn't know anything about it and woke up on Saturday morning to find the newspapers just rammed, and all of my friends, all of the people that I know, showing on social media all of their lovely pictures of the Aurora Borealis. The Aurora Borealis is one of those few things on my bucket list. I want to do it. Well, I'm going to say before I die. I mean, it'd be troublesome afterwards, but you get the point. And there it was outside my house, and I missed it. And then the following day, it was supposed to happen again, but, you know, sod's law. It was foggy where I live. Me and my son went out to a nearby hill, and we were convinced that we'd seen it until we realized it was the headlights of a car coming over the hill. But it really looked like the real thing because there was fog and everything, and all the lights were playing in the fog. So it was shimmering and all that. And then it narrowed. And then it was associated with... Anyway, upon hearing that, Michelle Frechette sent us this beauty. How good was it? Was it right there outside your house? Like, you, no effort needed, just there?
So I live in a village, and so there's a lot of light pollution where I live. So I traveled about 5 miles up to Lake Ontario. So I was right on in a parking lot at the beach, actually. And along with several hundred of my closest friends who I've never met before. But it was amazing. I got out of the car and I just looked up and it was directly overhead. And I shed a tear because it was my first time experiencing this that I recall. According to my mother, I saw it as an infant, but who remembers that? So these are not AI generated. I did not create these with my iPad, but I did take them with my iPhone. So I will say that. But it was it was glorious. My pictures don't do it justice, I swear, but it was lovely.
I am so jealous. I'm sure it would be one of those profound moments in life where you actually get to use the word awesome, not like when somebody says something mildly funny or you know,
inspiring.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. Just an actual awesome thing. Anyway, I missed it. I missed the first one, and then the second one was a car. headlights.
I'm sorry. So
there we go. I know, but I'm glad that you saw it, and I'm glad that you got that profundity feeling. That's it. That's all we've got for time for this week. I really appreciate it. We've overrun. I'm sorry, everybody. Hope that you didn't have anything too massive going on. Cameron Jones said it was down there, although it would be the Aurora Australis.
It would.
Not the Aurora Borealis, because that's for us in the Northern Hemisphere, Cameron. Get off our... and that is not boring. That is not a boring fact. Okay?
He also called it Aurora Sun.
Paul Halfpenny says, you could put some LED strip lights on your ceiling, add a smoke machine and turn the lights off. Not as good as Michelle's photos. Okay. All right. So all that remains for me to do is to say thank you to our two guests, Tim and Peacher, and my co-host today, Michelle Frechette. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week. I know. We're going to do it. We'll be back next week with some different people. I think we'll be back next week. No, we're not back next week. Wait.
Next week.
No. Or the week after. I'm having a couple of weeks off. Hang on. I'm just going to quickly look at the calendar. He said loading up Google Calendar. We're having a couple of weeks off because next week is the Page Builder Summit. Just saying. There it is. And the week after that, I'm attending a wedding. So we're having 2 weeks off. We'll be back on the 3rd of June, which is not the date of WordCamp Whitley Bay, which I thought it was. So 3rd of June, we'll be back. Apologies. I don't know how you're going to contain yourself, dear audience, but, you know, find something else to do. Go and crush an iPad or something like that. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. But for now, time to give us the hands. Michelle, no, Peacher, come on, over here. It's hard, isn't it? It's harder than it looks. Where are you? There they are. Pushing forward, Peacher. Make big hands. There we go. And on that bombshell, we'll say thank you so much. We will see you soon-ish. Take it easy.
Ish.
Bye.